What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the PGM show. Joined with us today is Sabrina McMillan, who is a realtor of Raleigh, North Carolina, and she's also the founder of Wine and Keys on Instagram. Joined with us today, you know, on episode 4, we started the BYOB series, which is building your own brand. Today, she will be talking about building your own brand, but through the lens of networking. But before we get started, we would like to go around and just basically introduce ourselves and talk about just basically check-in. And we established this check-in so we can get to know exactly what's really going on in each other's lives. So how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, you guys. Work has been super stressful, but very productive. How are you guys doing?
Oh, I felt that. a little stressful. I would say on my part, I just came back from some PTO. So I'm actually feeling a little bit more refreshed leading into PTO craziness. But right now I'm feeling good. I'm feeling optimistic. Got quite a few things on my mind and on my checklist, especially going into the second half of the year. So I'm ready to tackle it. I'm ready to get to it. Mike, what's going on with you, man? How you doing?
Hey, honestly, man, I'm doing pretty good. I feel like I'm equipped to be able to manage and deal with everything that I need to throughout the rest of this week. And then understanding that I have 2 more weeks before school start back. So I'm here, I'm fully present, and I'm ready to kick the show off. And, you know, Sabrina, I know that you said you were doing pretty good. I wanted to know a little bit more about that. What's pretty good to you?
Pretty good is managing all my clients, keeping up with this crazy real estate market, and being able to balance my own brand. So just balancing, not to mention my sister gets married this weekend. So
congrats to sister, older or younger?
Older.
Congrats, big sis.
Yes, that is congratulations. Now, I know that you mentioned that you were in real estate. So can you tell us a little bit more about who Sabrina McMillan is?
Yeah, definitely. I'm a Raleigh native. I have been here all my life. I went to school at UNCG. I got into the real estate game probably about a year ago in the investment side, and then kind of been doing the actual being a realtor for a couple of months. I really enjoy it. I have my own brand called Wine and Keys, which you lovely gentlemen have been a part of. Wine and Keys is a brand that really highlights and educates my peers about wine tips and real estate tips. I do it to educate my community so that we can all get to generational wealth and continue to grow our financial assets and be financially free. So that is a little bit about me. I'm a young girl in these streets hustling. That's really about it.
Hey, go ahead, Mike.
Hey, you mentioned an important thing. You said you wanted to educate your community about investments and then also the real estate market. Can you tell us a little bit more about what influenced you to take that route? Because I know you from when you were working in sales and working at BB's. I think that's where we met and then kind of spiraled down to the real estate industry. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, so like you mentioned, I was in retail for about 10 plus years doing various types of retail. I really got approached a lot by real estate agents or realtors because I was such a great people person. And as I decided that I wanted to transition out of retail, I really started to look at real estate because it wasn't something that a lot of African-Americans, minorities were educated on. We were taught, you know, have land, have that, but no one ever really educated us on the full process, what it takes to be a homeowner. And then a lot of us, especially like millennials, are learning that having property, owning land, having investments in real estate is one of the number one ways to be financially free. So I got into this industry really wanting to show my community what it's like to own a home, have investments, be an investor in real estate to really help us become financially free, because not only does homeownership help save you money, but it can gain you money as well, or can gain money as well.
Yo, that's spot on. And I appreciate you for sharing that. And can you share a little bit more? And I know we're here to talk about networking, but as you are speaking, you're dropping some jewels that I would like for our audience to take away. Mm-hmm. You mentioned something about how being a homeowner, how it can like help you save money and also create investments. Can you speak a little bit more about that?
Oh, yeah, definitely. So with becoming a homeowner in these days, typically about 8 times out of 10, your mortgage payment will be cheaper than your rental payment. Mm-hmm. Rent in North Carolina is getting up into the 2000s a month for one bedrooms. And that's a good and a bad thing. We want our city to grow. We want our city to be amazing and be one of the number two or number one cities in the country. But we also don't want to be broke. You want to be able to live with a balance. You want to be able to live nicely, but also be able to have fun. And what a lot of millennials and even some of our older generations are learning is that you're paying all this rent for something you do not own. It doesn't benefit you. You're benefiting the company that is in charge of your rent. Mm-hmm. So,
hey, can you say that again for the ones that just got in the car and about to turn their volume up? Say it one more time.
When you are paying rent, you are paying someone else's mortgage. So why not pay your own? Mm-hmm. And especially, you know, maybe a couple of years ago, maybe about 10 years ago, you know, rent was maybe the same or less than a mortgage payment. But at this time, with our city and our state growing at the rapid pace that it is, that's not the case anymore. You are literally could pay your mortgage and it can be way cheaper than a rental price. I know people get scared because there are additional costs, upfront costs when it comes to purchasing a home, but those upfront costs can really save you in the end. Just think of it as like the more you pour into your car, the more you pour into yourself, the more you grow. And that's the same thing with the home.
That's real. It's all about, from what I hear, because I know I've got friends and I've got people who are trying to get into home ownership. It's all about the long term game. So what you're talking about is spot on. As somebody, and as well as Mike, I know we're looking at property as well down the road. What you're saying is spot on. We love it. Those are some gems for sure. Before we talk about the networking piece, as you know, we've got this series going on, Building Your Own Brand, BYOB. And I can assume that especially what you do day in and day out, brand is huge. So if you don't mind talking a little bit about branding, like what does it mean to you? How do you go about approaching, you know, shaping your brand, your professional brand, your personal brand, and kind of how you navigate that being a young professional?
I think with being a young professional, how you stand out and how you just own your own and how you can create business with having your own brand is just being you. And I think we are starting to realize that as a generation, but the more you are yourself and not try to be someone else is the more you're going to have genuine business. With building my brand, I learned that people love me for who I am. People love my personality. And as long as I am telling them the correct things and the legal things that come with my job, me being me is going to be perfect. And I think that's what a lot of people are realizing, especially in these last 2 years. I mean, 2020 was crazy, but I think it opened up a lot of people's eyes that you only got one life. So why not be yourself and do what you're passionate about? So when you're passionate about something, the brand will work for itself. It does take work now. This ain't easy. This is not no ride down the park or, you know, easy breezy down the highway. It's not that at all. But it's the more you pour into yourself, just like I said, you pour it into a home, is the better outcome you're going to get. So it's a lot of skipping parties and skipping functions to sit in your house and create content, create new ideas, figure out your budget, figure out how you're going to reach new people, but it will pay off.
Yeah, Sabrina, you said some great things, and like making sacrifices is what I gathered from what you just said. Like, you know, sometimes you want to go out this weekend and like turn up, and that's cool. But just understand if you do make that move to turn up, then you're going to have to put some work in overtime, like whenever you finish doing what you're doing. Mm-hmm. So I wonder, when it comes to branding, how can one go about finding a balance between building their digital presence versus their own their offline presence?
Yeah, so really with digital presence, and a lot of people are seeing it these days, you know, it's all about creating content. So with digital presence, it's all about, to me, being yourself and coming up with creative ways to get your product across. So you have TikTok, you got your reels, you got your posts, And I do those things for fun, but I educate people along the way. Those to me are great ways to de-stress from the chaoticness of being a real estate agent. But it also helps me at the end of the day because I'm able to educate people along with making them laugh. When it comes to offline presence, it's all about, you know, what makes sense in this market. A lot of people used to do mailers or knock on people's doors, and some things, sometimes that still works, but it's all about, you know, getting out there and talking to people in your network and out of your network. People that are in your network could be, you know, people that are other real estate agents or anybody else that's in your industry, because you want to network with those people. You want to see what they're doing that works. You want to see what they're doing that's not working, and be able to kind of create your own with those influences. And then also people outside of your network, you never know, especially in an industry like mine, you never know who you're going to talk to who may send you a referral. And referrals are huge in any entrepreneur industry. So you never know who you're talking to. Anybody that you come in contact with should know what you do if you're an entrepreneur.
That's so real. That is so real. And I 100% agree as an entrepreneur myself. And I wonder, you know, you touched spot on as far as the entrepreneur standpoint, but I wonder, how do one find a balance from being a entrepreneur versus being a human being?
And that's why I always say that it's all about you being yourself. If you're trying to be someone else 24/7, because being an entrepreneur, you own 24/7. Whether you're on vacation or not, you know, you will find yourself, because you're passionate about what you do, you'll find yourself talking about work on vacation. And that's fine. As long as you're not physically working, you could be talking about it. But, you know, being able to casually have it in a conversation by being yourself, it's how you create that balance, because you're not, if you're passionate about something, you're not always overworking. You know the difference. Like me, I'm not a take vacation. Okay, y'all, clock out. I'm calling for the day. Talk to y'all in the morning. And it's all about setting boundaries too. Like, for instance, my sister's wedding is this weekend. So clients want to see houses. Of course, on the weekend is the most popular time. All right, y'all, you set an expectation. So at the beginning of the week, I was sent out to all my clients, hey, this is my email. I will not be showing houses this weekend. Catch me between Monday and Thursday. So set those expectations and set those boundaries is how you maintain the balance. But I mean, when you're truly passionate about something, you're never not going to talk about it. It's all about not doing in the work and being able to balance the actual physical aspect of it.
That's real. Somebody told me today, you earned that PTO. You better go take it. Cause you know, again, it's a marathon, not a sprint, but you brought up a really important point, and it's wild. Cause I actually read it in a book not too long ago. It was the importance between, when you were talking about networking, weak ties and strong ties. So those strong ties can typically be people who are in your inner circle, but oftentimes those weak ties can really be the connection that you need to springboard you to another group, another community, or another opportunity. And so I'm curious, especially when you were talking about how, you know, you may reach out to another realtor, or you may reach out to someone to, you know, connect the dots on something. How important is networking, especially in your job day to day?
Networking is huge. I feel like networking is huge, no matter if you're working a 9-to-5, you're an entrepreneur. I feel like networking is huge. And I'm a strong believer in networking, because A, I would not be where I am today without networking. B, it gives you different avenues. And I say it gives you different avenues because you have your networking for your peace of mind. And I say the peace of mind because that's your like-minded people. So when I'm saying networking, people in your industry, you want somebody that you can soundboard off of, someone that can understand where you're coming from when someone is driving you insane or something's not going right, especially in the minority and Black community, because we're often in industries that do not understand us. So when you have someone that's like-minded in the same field as you, and you can soundboard off of that, that's a way of peace. That's a way of relieving stress when you have that networking app. So networking with people in your industry is huge, not only because it gives you peace of mind, but you never know what opportunity may spring from that as well. Because I have so many friends in the industry, and we are in the same state. We can be in the same city. Mm-hmm. And if I can't show anybody a house this weekend, I have five other people I can call that can help my client out and won't be trying to steal the client. So networking is huge because you never know when you might need that hand. You never know when you're going to create that business partner. But you also, the most important is to have that soundboard. The other part of networking is, networking within the industry, but not necessarily someone that's on the same level as you. So you mm-hmm. always want to network up, you want to network down. So you want to network up because you want to be able to see where you want to go. Like if someone has, you want that mentor. Mentors are huge. I don't care what avenue or what field you're in. Mentors are huge because you want a leading path to get where you want to go. You don't have to go down that exact path, but they can tell you what to avoid as far as mistakes or what to push towards, maybe something that they didn't get to, but they know that you can get to. So you always want someone that can motivate you, guide you, and direct you in the right path. Networking down, you never know what your experience may influence someone. And I say network down, but really you're lifting someone else up because someone lifted mm-hmm. you up. And like I said, I would never be where I am today if I didn't have people that I looked up to that motivated me. So why not motivate someone else?
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, you're fine. You're fine. And then networking outside of your field is that's how you get clients. That's how you talk to people. You never know who you're going to run into. You never know who's in a room with you. So you could be talking to your next client or you could be talking to a business partner. You never know who will see your passion and will feed into your business, whether they're a client, an investor, or someone that's just like, she was dope. I mean, I got a real estate agent, but I think she might be able to help you out. You just never know who you're talking to.
You dropped a ton of gems. But I am curious, just as a follow-up, networking can be hard for some folks. And it, you know, I've from experience, it took me a while to get to it. I know it took Mike some time to, you know, figure out how am I going to lead in? What is my elevator pitch? How do I go about maneuvering, you know, my industry? So you already dropped a few things, but I'm curious from what you, just to add on, what are some tips and tricks that you could give some folks? Because I know we've got some people in our audience who this might be their first go at it. We may have some folks who it's been a little bit, they've been out the game for a little bit and they're trying to re-enter. So I'm curious, what would you recommend to people who are getting back to it?
Well, I guess my first recommendation is the old saying, closed mouths don't get fed. So mm-hmm. whether you're comfortable with talking to thousands of people or you're comfortable with talking to one person, it can take that one person to change your life. Yep. So I'm a person that I wasn't big on networking. I really had to learn how to do it to get into this industry. So I started off with one person. I thought this person was super dope. I just took a chance and I was like, hey, you know, can you help me out? Can you give me some advice? And it just led from there. So you can start off with one person and it really can change your life. So whether you're vocally able to talk to someone, or sometimes just sending an email can change their life as well. So, you know, there's different ways to communicate with people. It's whatever people are comfortable with, but you got to at least start.
You said something that I often tell my clients, you have to start somewhere, and where you may start is completely different than where you probably have started. Whenever you made that switch from retail to being a realtor, and from Gandhi and for myself. So for our audience who's listening to this, like, you know, people going to have their way and what's going to work for them. But you yourself, you're going to have to come up with what that looks like for you, because your success is not going to look like my success. Your definition of success may not even can be the same or equal to what something it looks like for me, depending on where I'm trying to go and where I've been. So thank you so much for sharing that. I really do appreciate it.
Oh yeah, no problem. And just to piggyback off what you said, you know, because networking is, people think it's like, oh, I want to copy what someone else is doing. That's not the point of networking. Networking is to get ideas and create your own. So you're taking ideas, you're taking all this information that you're gathering and you're making your own. So don't try to copy, but you know, definitely make your own avenue. But it definitely helps when you have people to chat with, relate to, and share your journey with. And when it comes to networking, you know, don't look for the powerhouse in the room. Look for the person that you relate to in the room.
Mm-hmm. You got to work your way up.
Yeah, speak more to that, Sabrina.
Yeah, so when it comes to networking, first of all, especially if you're one that's shy or not, you know, you're new to networking, is you start with the person you relate to, because that's the person you're going to be most mm-hmm. comfortable with. Mm-hmm. That way, when you're comfortable with them, you have another person in the room that can help introduce you to people. So instead of being by yourself, you can tag team and talk to people and really, you know, feed off each other and be able to bring information back to each other. Then that person may introduce you to someone else that you're comfortable with or like-minded with, or they could be a little bit different, but that's one other person that you know. So starting with one person that you're like-minded with can really change your life, because if you go to the person that is the biggest person in the room, they really might turn you down. And I mean, there's nothing wrong with getting turned down or saying no, but, and they also, they could be not what you thought. It could be a social media light or someone that portrays to be, you know, something else on social media and not what you really thought. And then now you're starting over.
That's spot on. I always tell people when they're going through this process, you have to find a way to get yourself to be comfortable, because mm-hmm. it can be nerve-wracking when you're trying to approach people. I always say, like, when I go through networking, and this is, I'm not giving away all my secrets right now, but I always tell people when it comes to commonalities, I love watches. So I'll go up to somebody and be like, yo, that's a nice watch. Where'd you get it? Can you tell me about it? Or, you know, if you like sports, obviously being an NC State grad, if I saw somebody with a Carolina tie, I'd be like, come on, man, you can't be supporting Carolina. Like, what's going on with you? And while, you know, there might be a little chuckles, that was the key to get in and just having a conversation. Cause next it's like, okay, well, tell me a little bit about yourself. Mm-hmm. Boom. And now you're in. Right. Mm-hmm. So it's just taking those baby steps and finding ways to get comfortable. And then the rest is history.
Yeah, I would say that a blessing for me to learn how to be comfortable was retail, because retail will knock you down real hard. Yep.
I believe that. I believe
that. But learning how to, you know, be able to look at someone once and see something that you can relate to was a huge thing for me, because that's really how I'm able to be comfortable with clients. Like, people mm-hmm. think real estate is super easy and that we've known our clients for a lifetime. It's not like that.
Literally
meet strangers. We go to homes meeting strangers and pray to God that we don't get killed, okay? Like, we meet strangers. But, you know, making it an easy process, being a bright personality, being someone that's relatable, and meeting these people for the first time, I know I've gotten a lot of times when people are like, oh, you just made this so comfortable. And A, that's because I enjoy what I do, but I also find things to relate to. So it's not like you know, buying a house is a scary process. Mm-hmm. So I have to be able to make other people feel comfortable. So if I'm not comfortable, no one's comfortable.
Yo, that is so spot on, to the point where I was just like, yo, that's me. Cause like, kind of like what Gandhi said, like, I find myself to be a comedian. And so, like when people come up to me, they're like, oh, like usually people will come up to me saying something smart, and like my punchline is like something smart in response. And so it's just like, that's how I allow my personality to flow. And then they're like, oh my God, you an educator too? Like, I know the kids love me and stuff like that. And so it's just like, I'm like, okay, that's who I am. Like, between like 9 to 5, but this is who I really am in this particular space. But so I wonder, Sabrina, you know, you mentioned a lot about walking into the room and being able to read the room and being able to find someone that can like help you network throughout the process of accomplishing your goal. But, you know, during the pandemic, how can one go about networking? How has that changed?
Oh yeah, that's definitely been a change, and it's crazy. I became a real estate in the middle of a pandemic, but networking within the pandemic definitely changed a lot of things. Everything became more virtual, more online, more emailing. I think it's really about being in different online groups. And I think that's becoming a bigger thing. And with networking is people use GroupMe, people use Facebook groups, people use LinkedIn and all these kind of different networking avenues. I think it's all about really putting yourself in the right room. And I'm all about, just looking before I speak. So I definitely like look through the group, make sure it's something that I coincide with, that I can relate to. And then, you know, doing your research and then just making that one comment, that one like, or participating in a virtual event. I think with virtual, it's a little bit, it's a little less nerve-wracking because it's virtual. If you don't want to be there, click the end button, but, or step out of the room, but it's a little easier to talk to people because you're behind a computer screen. So I would hope that it's a little bit more comfortable, but I can understand where it's not easy to find. So definitely, jumping in major groups. I know me and Mike were in a group that's in Raleigh on GroupMe. It's RDU Black Professionals. That group has literally every type of professional, every type of level. So, you know, just putting yourself out there like, hey, you know, do you, anybody know a group about this? And someone's going to answer. Someone's going to have an answer. Mm-hmm. So, you know, just taking that one leap can really lead you to a great networking avenue.
That's real. Speaking of avenues and speaking of experiences, I think oftentimes, and I know Mike's gone through it, I've gone through it, but networking in spaces that are not welcoming. so I'm curious, and especially being in the industry that you're in, where there aren't many professionals of color, and with you being a Black woman, what's it like? Can you talk through an experience where you've had to network in spaces that weren't welcome, that you weren't welcome, and how did you navigate that?
I think it's all about handling things professionally, mm-hmm. but not letting your profession stop you from someone disrespecting you and your community. A lot of groups, because we are on the internet, especially like we were talking about networking in a pandemic, so a lot of people were online and chatting in different groups, and people are thugs behind the computer. I think we all see it every day.
The Twitter fingers.
The Twitter fingers, man. So really, I mean, for one instance, I was a part of a Facebook group that was about networking in the area. And, you know, a lot of things happened with George Floyd and talking about how to navigate through different industries being being a person of color, a person of minority, going through 2020, we know that like we had the spotlight on us, even though we've known things ain't been right for years. So some of those conversations got a little tense, a little hectic, and you know, you just really take note and know who to, you know, remove yourself from or not be, you know, in cohorts with, and really just, you know, take note and make sure that it's not to the point where it's disrespectful, because then they either need to leave the group or they need to be corrected. And there's professional ways of doing it. I think a lot of us navigate through those avenues daily of how to correctly, professionally tell someone not to try.
Have you had to do that before?
For sure. I'm in the state of North Carolina, first and foremost.
The South.
Being a minority in real estate is a low number. So definitely, and like I said, you never know. With being in the industry, we have something called leads, and leads are people, but mm-hmm. they're generated through different website organizations to help you help people who are looking for a home. So it automatically comes to you. You do not know who you are interacting with until you meet them, until you get to know them. So I know a lot of us as agents, you might have heard it lately because it's been a bigger term, but we can fire clients. That's the beauty of being a real estate agent. We are entrepreneurs. We are independent people. So You know, you never know what you're going to get, and you just pray, you just handle it professionally. Or a lot of people like myself, if I'm uncomfortable with a client and they're not my cup of tea and I'm not their cup of tea, then I pass someone to someone else, because at the end of the day, we can get referral fees. So, you know, you never have to be too nasty, but, you know, handle it in a way that's not going to ruin your reputation. But, you know, like, you don't have to deal with that either.
Yeah, and I feel like that happens across any organization or industry that you're currently working for. And, you know, you spoke a little bit about it earlier, but as a Black woman and a person of color, you know, can you describe your experience with networking in a male predominantly environment?
Yeah, definitely. So, I mean, not to go back to my profession, but real estate is mainly ran by men. Maybe mm-hmm. in these last couple of 5 years or so, you see women really dominating the industry, but this is a male-driven industry. So really letting men know that they can't over-talk you or over walk all over you is a huge thing in this industry. So, you know, just making your presence known, being who you are and standing your ground is one way to definitely do that. And like I said, you know, always finding that networking group that works for you. So I'm in several groups that are dedicated to women in my industry. So it really helps, you know, that I have a sounding board. It really helps that I have people that understand what I'm going through and that can give me ideas and tips and tricks to navigate through this industry that's mainly dominated by men. So, you know, like I said, finding that networking group that works for you and just standing your ground always works.
You know, I'm curious, because we asked Reggie this, especially being, you know, in his profession as well. He's a lawyer from our previous episode. But with everything that's gone on, everything over the last year and a half, you had already mentioned, like, it felt like the spotlight was on the Black community. Yeah, even though we felt like, hey, we've known about a lot of the stuff that's gone on. But from your perspective, being a Black woman, being a woman of color, and being in a male dominated industry, do you feel like things have shifted? Do you feel like that there's more awareness that's taken place over the last year and a half? Or, you know, are things still pretty much the same?
I feel like we get a little bit of both. I feel like we definitely have more spotlight and there's more awareness mm-hmm. for people who are taking the matter seriously. And it really opened their eyes. But I also feel like it really showed who people were and what mm-hmm. they really thought. So I think it brought out two sides. I think it brought out the compassionate side of people who were, you know, blind to it all. But I also think it really opened up for those who were hiding behind the nice guy or the nice woman. And it really showed them that they could be who they are. So we got two different sides of people here. And I think in these times with networking, you know, like I said, you don't always have to speak first. You can always just read the room or figure out what's going on in the chat and realize if it's really for you, because the name of a chat or a name of a group or a committee doesn't necessarily reflect on the people that are in it.
That is so true. And, you know, it's like clickbait in a sense. And when the Clubhouse came out, and
everybody was a professional.
Yeah. And so
an expert.
And it was just like, it was crazy how you could have so much access to misinformation at the palm of your hand. And people, I went into one group and it was just like somebody talking about mental health and how, like, they were like, mental health really don't exist. It's just like the spirits of people. And I was like, yo, okay. All right. And so, like, but people, the fact
and that people believe it.
And people was encouraging it. This behavior. And I was just like, yo, this, come on, yo, come on. And so I was just like, the part of me was just like, do I want to sit and like listen and hear all of this and then like find a way to say something and step up and speak out and all the other good stuff? And I was just like, or do I want to protect my peace and energy and mental health and just say, you know what, this battle is bigger than me? because it was over like 100 and some people in there, and I was just like, it's going to be me versus 100 and some. And I'm not saying no, I couldn't, like, you know, stand my ground or nothing like that, but it's also called picking your battles, you know.
Yes,
some things is worth fighting for, and some things is just like, you know what, that's not even worth it. That's not even worth it.
Yeah, and to piggyback off of that, I definitely had to learn that lesson, picking your battles. I mean, I've been a person that I don't like disrespect, and I never have, never will. But learning to walk away or learning not to type that last little message is worth it all. And I definitely agree. Clubhouse is very interesting. I'm no longer a participant of Clubhouse because I'm like you. I would go and peek into like a real estate room, and you have to be careful when people say real estate, because a lot of people these days are using a real estate term when they really mean real estate investments, and how to flip houses and how to do that. And yep. I don't know if y'all pay attention, but everybody and their mom thinks they're an expert at real estate investments or flipping. It's not a hard task. You buy something that doesn't look great and you turn it into looking amazing. But everybody's an expert, and they were really feeding people very incorrect information. So, you know, like I said, you pop into something, read the room, listen to the pod, you know, listen to the podcast, listen to the room, you know, listen if you're in person, you know, just read the room and figure out if that's the space you need to be in, because every room is important.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And it's not that we saying we don't support Clubhouse, and I want people to know that now. We are not saying that.
Sorry, yes.
We're not saying we don't support, and we dang sure ain't getting paid by doing the advertising. So, well, all we saying is just making sure you read the room, making sure you know what you're getting yourself into. Be inquisitive, ask questions, and but most importantly, when you enter new spaces, like, listen to understand so that you can ask those right questions and be able to walk away feeling like you accomplished something or you know what to do next.
Right. Don't waste your time. Make sure you're going in with intention and make sure that you're getting intention out of it.
Really fast. I want to continue to piggyback off of a few things, but going back to everything that's kind of happened, you mentioned like, hey, you know what, now that we know how some people are, we know how some people feel on different topics, how you network may be a little different. So I'm curious, has your idea of networking changed? Has branding changed? Like, how has everything that's happened over really over these last year and a half, or even the last few months, how has your idea of network and branding changed for you?
Changed for me. So when first getting into the pandemic, first getting into my industry, how I networked was literally just taking a chance. Mm-hmm. When I started my brand, Wine and Keys, I knew that I couldn't be an expert because I wasn't licensed or in the industry fully yet. So I took a chance on just asking people to come onto my platform. And I feel like that lane of networking is great when you're starting. And it even can be a backup plan for when you have got your own brand. But I feel like another great way of networking when you are already a little bit established, want to get quality out of networking, is being in the right room. And like you said before, you know, listen to understand. So when you're in the right room, and you know this is the room for you, making your presence known. So, you know, when I got into a specific group before, I literally would drop, you know, like I would answer questions to someone's question, or put in new facts, new real estate facts or new wine facts. Really being that knowledgeable person or spreading your knowledge could create conversations and drop knowledge on you that you wouldn't have thought of. Creating conversations with people really not only lets people get to know you, or, you know, put their name in their head, but it also allows you to learn from those that you are in a room with.
I appreciate you for mentioning that, Sabrina, because, you know, as we individuals who listen to our platform. It's a wide age variety. Well, it's a variety of different ages. And so we want to make sure that whatever we communicate in that, it is something that everyone can take away and be able to apply it to their lifestyle. But I wonder how, you know, what feedback or what suggestions do you have for individuals, or words of encouragement for individuals who are going through the process of rebranding themselves or trying to establish a brand to be prepared for the next opportunity?
First of all, rebranding is ghetto. I'm just playing. I'm only saying that because I'm going through it.
Hey.
Rebranding and I almost lost all my hair. But so my key words of advice when it comes to rebranding or starting your own brand is patience. You got to have patience, okay? That is the biggest thing. You have to know, and a lot of people know that I'm a huge faith believer that everything works in God's time. So, you know, praying for what you want, or if you don't pray, really those words of affirmation or telling yourself or putting it out in the atmosphere that this is what you're going to have. This is, and you got to be specific now. Don't be just putting out in the general.
You okay? Better.
You're going to get some general answers.
Yes, yes.
Be specific about what you want. And it's crazy that I'm saying this. One of my real estate friends reminded me of that today. Be very specific and intentional what you want. So when you're beginning, you need to write a list. And if you pray, you might need to send it out to your prayer warriors. All right, y'all, this is on my list. And the same thing with rebranding is you write everything down. You write out your concept. You write what you want to get out of it. And then when you're rebranding, write what didn't work on another piece of paper. Don't put those things in the same room, but on another piece of paper, write what didn't work for you and how you don't want to go back to those things. The second thing that I can say is, so you're having patience, and then don't be afraid of no. Don't let no disempower you. Let no empower you. And I say that because when I first started Wine and Keys, a lot of people told me no. A lot of people either didn't answer me or they told me no. And the crazy thing in believing in yourself and believing in your brand is a few months later, those same people were watching me and came on and wind up wanting to come onto the show. So, you know, believing yourself. So don't be afraid of no. Don't let it disempower you. And then I'm a huge believer in having a village. There is no way in this world that you can make it without having a support system. I call mine my village. Some people call it, you know, friends, family, you know, whatever. But, you know, those core people that uplift you, because being in an industry where you're branding or rebranding is stressful. And you need an outlet. You need those people that are going to encourage you, motivate you. And that's the same thing with networking. But networking, you're going to hear no. Networking, you got to have patience. And you got to have a core support system that may not be in the industry that you're trying to network into. You got to have those outside people who are A, going to tell you the truth, but uplift you as well.
You said a lot of good things. I was just thinking about it. It's crazy, but, and we've expressed this on one of our previous episodes, but get comfortable being uncomfortable. I always tell people, I love the word no, because that is fire and fuel to be like, okay, I know that this may not be the time, but I know I believe in myself. And I know at some point a door is going to open. As long as I'm persistent, as long as I'm taking the time to, you know, check the boxes, ask the questions, do the homework, something is going to open up. And so for our audience, hey, listen, whatever you're going through, whatever direction you're trying to go, a door is going to open. A light is going to open up and things are going to grow and be great, but you got to trust that process.
Most definitely. And go ahead, Sabrina.
I was going to just say with rebranding, it's okay to take a break from our rebranders. It's okay to pause on your platform or whatever. It's okay to take a pause for rebranders. Now, new branders just keep going, baby.
Yeah, and I would say that's what I'm going through as a beginning business owner, and I'm learning my brand. You know, this I started off with something else as a logo, but then this is my logo today, and it's just like with everything that you're going through, it's like what Gandy said, trusting the process. It's going to look very cloudy. You're going to get a lot of people that's going to say, I don't really like that, but at the end of the day, who are you doing it for? Because if you're praying to the utmost, King God, and you are getting your answers from him, but then you're trying to seek validation from other people, then what are you doing? And so for me, like, being okay with hearing the answer no is perfectly fine, because I know that's not in alignment with what God has ordained for my life, or that's not who I need to speak to, or that's not who he want me to get through. And so, you know, through the services that I offer, I've been told no, and I've been told yes by the right people. And at the same very moment, I have not seen anything wrong with what I offer to other people for as income steady coming in. I have enough clients to be able to make sure I got this going over here, to be able to do this and be able to start this. And so for me, when you say trust the process, that process, you will be put in a situation where you say you believe in God, or you say you believe in the process, it's going to be put to a test. And you're going to be, you may create a shirt, and you may feel like everybody and their mama going to love this shirt, but I promise you they won't. I promise you they won't. And it's just like, how do you overcome that? And so this episode is not about start becoming an entrepreneur, but it's all about trusting the process and, you know, like networking. So like, you know, for me being in education, but I'm also trying to work my way into like politics and policy and different things of the sort. And so I have to find a balance between understanding what's going on in education, but what's going on in politics, but what's going on within the communities that I'm trying to be a part of, what's going on in the communities that I'm trying to serve, and what's going on in the communities that I have nothing about. And so you just have to find that balance that's going to be able to work for you.
Yeah, definitely with balance, trusting the process can go with almost any aspect in life. But when it comes to networking, business, and working a 9-to-5, like, it goes with it all. You have to trust the process. Because you are where you're supposed to be for a reason. When it comes to being a creative or networking, you know, your networking idea, your networking plan might not work the first way you do it, but you have to go back to the drawing board, because if you don't, there's no point of just sitting there. Sitting there won't give you your answers. But keeping pushing forward, creating new ideas, creating new ways, putting yourself out there will get you to where you want to go. We all learn from mistakes. Mistakes makes us better. Bad ideas or ideas that didn't go the way you thought will make you better. So putting yourself in the wrong room lets you know that's not the room you want to be in. So that only helps you to get to the right room.
Yeah, and thank you so much for sharing that, Sabrina. And so as we come to a close, I was wondering, do you have any final thoughts that you would like to share with our audience today?
With networking, like we said, key points are put yourself in a room, whether it's the right or wrong one, so that you can have those stepping stones to get to where you want to be. Making sure that you have a plan when it comes to networking or almost anything else you do, but networking. Being able to find like-minded people, being able to network with people that are above you, who are have more experience than you, and then also networking with people that have less experience with you. You never know what new ideas they may get from you, or you may never know who you may help or influence. And that's really it, guys. Thanks for having me on.
No problem. Thank you so much for being on. And before we close out, feel free to drop, how can people follow up with you?
Oh, yeah. So I have a couple of different avenues I like to touch all people. So my real estate page is the919_realtor on Instagram. On Facebook, it's Sabrina, the real estate agent. On Instagram, I have my own brand called Wine and Keys. Wine and Keys is wine_in_keys. I try to drop videos weekly. Okay, you guys, busy lady, okay? But I always provide content weekly at least. And then, yeah, that's where to find us, you know, check us out. I have websites and different stuff like that, but the Instagrams and the Facebooks are how you get the websites and everything. So just Just follow me.
Check her out.
And there you have it, everyone. Join with us today with Sabrina McMillan, realtor in Raleigh, North Carolina, and also the founder of Wine and Keys. You know, on the show today, she dropped a lot of great gems talking about networking, but most importantly, trusting the process while you are trying to accomplish a goal that you may have set for your life. You know, at the end of the day, it is the power of a growth mindset, but most importantly, it all starts with you.